Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The title of this sermon is, How is it going to turn out this time? It's important to keep that in mind for later. But for now, I want to tell you something that Mark Twain said. He said, most people are bothered by those scripture passages which they cannot understand. But for me, the passages in scripture which trouble me the most are those which I do understand. I like what Twain says there, because it gets to the heart of the reason why we study the Bible. Now, yes, we need to do what we can to learn and to grow in Scripture, but we also need to learn to be faithful and obedient to what Scripture makes plain. The idea of faithful and obedient is the central idea from our texts today. There's a story about this guy, King Henry of Bavaria. Now, the duties of his office once became so overwhelming that he decided he was going to relinquish his crown and go enter a monastery where he could live a quiet and simple life in service to God. He humbly presented himself to the head of the monastery, a fellow named Prior Andrew. The prior told the king that if he wished to serve God as a member of that order, he had to promise to be absolutely obedient to God through the monastery. So the king agreed. Then the prior gave Henry this order: go back to your throne and serve God as king of this land. God will give you the strength to serve him in your calling. Now, the point for us being that whatever your calling in life, whatever your vocation, your occupation, or whatever your situation, we are to seek to serve God in that capacity to the very best of our ability. And God will give the strength for us to be his faithful and obedient servants. Those words, faithful and obedient, as we said, are important in light of today's scripture readings. Looking at the gospel lesson, this is a part of Jesus' life that we've heard many times. It's about his temptation. So let me ask you, without looking at it again, is there any suspense for you when you hear this gospel lesson? Do you ever wonder, oh no, what's he going to do next? I'd be willing to guess that for most of us, that no, there is not much in the way of suspense in this story. We've most all of us heard it and know how it's going to play out. But let me review just the basics of the story again in general. Jesus goes into the wilderness. There for 40 days, he fasts. He eats nothing. After this time, the devil comes to tempt him and says, If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. So, Jesus figures, sure, why not? It's about time to give himself a break. After all, 40 days is a long time to go without food for anybody. And besides, he's been good enough up until now, right? His now turning a stone into a loaf of bread, is a reasonable response to the end of 40 days of fasting for the Son of God. He's being offered what the old McDonald's advertising line says: you deserve a break today. So that's the basic story, right? That's what Jesus did. Didn't he take the devil's suggestion and satisfy his hunger? What? Didn't hear you. What? No, he didn't. And that's what you're saying, right? You're saying he didn't do that? Okay. You're saying I'm wrong. Well, that's good. That's good, because that isn't what happened. And for you and I, we need to get down on our knees and thank him. What Jesus did in this gospel lesson is so important for us that we need to continually thank Him. And our thanks is for His obedience and faithfulness. Jesus was obedient to the will of God and faithful to the Word of God. He did not act on the temptation that was put before Him. He remained steadfast to both the will and word of His Heavenly Father. Jesus faced temptation, and He succeeded in overcoming it where Adam had failed. Jesus is sometimes referred to as the second Adam. He's the one who's come to do what the first Adam failed to do, and that is to be obedient and faithful. St. Paul in Romans 5, 18 and 19 says, "Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous." The faith and hope that is ours is in the one who has been obedient in our place. Jesus has been faithful for us. Are we then to sit back and relax? Do we get a break? Well, yes and no. Yes, we are no longer bound under the requirements of the law in order to earn our own salvation. Jesus, by His perfect life of obedience and faithfulness, and by His perfect death and resurrection in our place, removes the penalty of all our sin. But also, no, we don't get a break. In that temptation still tries. Temptation still tries to pull us away from God. So we are to follow where Jesus has led us, into faithfulness and obedience. And that's just the opposite of what the world wants you to do. It's the opposite of what Satan wants you to do when he comes and tempts you, just like he did with the first Adam and with the second Adam, Jesus. It is simple, really. It's not easy at all, but it's simple. We are to be obedient to the will of God and faithful to the Word of God. Remember, I said that the title of this sermon is, "How is it going to turn out this time?" That title isn't talking about what Jesus is going to do in today's gospel lesson. It's talking about you and I when we're faced with temptation again. Is it easy? Is it a given that you will always be faithful and obedient? Well, no. But why not? You listened to the gospel lesson today, and you expected Jesus to not fail. Why do you expect yourself to fail in the face of temptation? You know you are free. You know that you are free of the power of temptation. That freedom is real. That freedom is now, and that freedom is true power. Remember what Mark Twain said about being bothered by the passages of Scripture he understood? Do we understand? Do we take our stand fully and truly on the Word of God and then live in that freedom? Oh, it doesn't look like it to the world or to the people around you, but that freedom is where godly power truly is. Power rests in obedience and faithfulness in the freedom that Jesus alone has given us. We are simply to let the cross of Christ alone be our shield. Consider for a moment one point from the Old Testament lesson regarding being faithful and obedient. There, being faithful and obedient is set in the idea of the first fruits giving that God calls for. First fruits giving is not for God's sake. It is for ours. It's to remember our heritage of having a wandering Aramean for our father, Jacob. His descendants God brought forth from Egypt as a great nation. God did that. God kept his word to that wandering Aramean and brought his people to the promised land and then gave it to them. Gave to them what they did not earn for themselves. And so God asks his people to remember his generosity by taking the first fruits of their labor and honoring him with them. Honoring with faith and obedience the faithfulness and obedience that God showed to us in keeping his word of promise. Now, stepping back into the gospel lesson with God's Old Testament word of promise in our ears, let me ask you about Jesus' story. How is it that Jesus overcame the temptation of Satan? What did he use or do or say? What's that? That's right, Holy Scripture. He used God's word to meet the challenge of Satan. Holy Scripture is what Jesus used. And by doing so, he shows us that we can use it when faced with temptation in our own lives as well. If we take Scripture to heart, if we memorize it by heart, then we will have eyes to see temptation for what it really is. It's an invitation to both disobedience to God's will and faithlessness to God's word. That's the insidious nature of temptation. Because by it, Satan wants to draw us, to invite us away from the one source of true power, God and his holy word. However, never forget that in that holy word is, and in that source of freedom, there is also for us comfort and hope for us, because there is forgiveness when we do fail and fall away. We have that forgiveness because Jesus did not fail in his obedience and faithfulness. That's why we thank him. We thank him for being faithful in the face of temptation. He is the guarantee of our faithfulness and obedience in the eyes of our Heavenly Father. He's the one who has performed true and perfect faithfulness to God's word and obedience to God's will in our place. Read with me, please, verses 12 and 13 from the epistle lesson. Let's read these out loud. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, before we close, remember, calling on the name of the crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ is where our salvation is found. He is our salvation because he has fulfilled God's demand for faithfulness and obedience. Jesus has done these things in our place. And he gives us that faithfulness and obedience by grace through faith alone. Because of that, he has made it possible for us to call God in heaven our Father. So, do we want to be set free so that we can serve our Father God as obedient children? Not perfect children, but obedient. For Israel to call God their Father meant that he would deliver them from their bondage to Pharaoh and call them to serve him as obedient children, which he did. So let me ask, is there room in our daily schedule for those things of faithfulness and obedience that God provides us to nourish our souls with? Are we ready to make the choice to find space and energy for some spiritual discipline of prayer and Bible memorization? Can we make room for meditating on the Word of God daily or regularly? Are we going to be like the king of Bavaria and return to our daily lives as obedient and faithful people of God rather than as slaves to sin? Or could it be that we prefer to slave away in the house of Pharaoh rather than fully embrace the freedom of calling God our Father? Will the truth of being freed by the cross of Christ from our captivity under the taskmaster of sin fill our lives so we instead turn and freely serve God with our whole heart and our whole life? Remember, in Jesus' name, through repentance and forgiveness, we have been called and we have been set free. That is a true and trustworthy saying. And we've been made by the power of Jesus in God's word alone. We have been made obedient and faithful children of our Heavenly Father. What will you and I do with that? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight.